Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 17th on the West Coast, now September the 18th on the East Coast and in the central time zones of the United States. We would also like to welcome those who may be listening live or on an archive later on in the day. Or night, depending on where you are in the world, on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com around the world. What is going on? Well, I'm going to read some news, and then we may recap last night's show with tonight's guest, as well as what I'm about to read. This comes from a gentleman by the name of This comes from a gentleman by the name of J.B. Williams. And I'm not familiar with him, but it's kind of an interesting little piece here entitled Navy Lieutenant Commander Charges Obama, and that's in quotes, Obama, with treason. Interesting catch 22. The president is either guilty as charged or Lieutenant Commander Walter F. Fitzpatrick III, retired, is guilty of mutiny. Either Barack Hussein Obama is guilty of treason, as formally charged in March 2009 federal criminal complaint by, in a March 2009 federal criminal complaint filed by retired Navy Lieutenant Commander Walter Francis Fitzpatrick III on March 17th, or Commander Fitzpatrick is indeed guilty of mutiny, quote, forcible or passive resistance to lawful authority, especially concerted revolt as of a naval crew against discipline or a superior officer, unquote. Still quoting Mr. Williams, however, there is no higher authority for a U.S. naval commander than the superior office of commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces, the President of the United States. Yet, Commander Fitzpatrick has publicly and formally charged President Barack Hussein Obama with the highest crime of treason in a federal complaint filed with James R. Diedrich, U.S. Attorney, Eastern District, Tennessee, and Edgar Schmutzer, Diedrich's Assistant U.S. Attorney, on March 17, 2009. In doing so, Lieutenant Commander Fitzpatrick opened himself up to the very serious charge of mutiny, a crime which requires court-martial and carries the death penalty. In the criminal complaint, Fitzpatrick has charged Barack Hussein Obama and others complicit with treason, an act that, if false, constitute an act of mutiny on behalf of Commander Fitzpatrick. If, on the other hand, Commander Fitzpatrick is right, then the act constitutes the ultimate selfless act of true patriotism and a glowing example of what it means to stand on an oath to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. However, in order to be guilty of immunity, Commander Fitzpatrick's charges would have to be proven false. In order to be proven false, Obama's secret files would have to be opened up for discovery, which explains why Obama has not charged the commander with mutiny. Any defensive legal action on Obama's part will result in discovery of the events and facts involved, and that is the last thing Obama wants at this point. So, instead of a legal defense, every effort will be made to defeat Commander Fitzpatrick in the court of public opinion by attacking his character. Commander Fitzpatrick is a retired career naval officer who has served his country with great honor and distinction and continues to today. An Eagle Scout of 40 years, the son of a naval medical officer, Captain Walter Fitzpatrick II. Commander Fitzpatrick enlisted in the Navy in 1969, directly after graduating Villanova. After boot camp at Great Lakes Naval Training Center, he attended the Naval Academy Preparatory School in Bainbridge, Maryland. After 1 year, he entered the U.S. Naval Academy. He graduated with the class of 1975 with top military honors. Stand Commander Fitzpatrick next to that of Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, or Harry Reid, or most any other American for that matter, and tell me who you trust to tell the truth. Aside from the trust issue, Commander Fitzpatrick has nothing to gain by filing charges of treason against Obama, but was willing to risk all in defense of the U.S. Constitution and the people it was written to protect. The situation could hardly be more serious. If this were a game of high-stakes poker, the commander just went all in. From the official complaint, here's a quote. Your criminal ascension manifests a clear and present danger. You fundamentally changed our form of government. The Constitution no longer works. Confidently holding your silent agreement and admission, I identify you as a foreign-born domestic enemy. My sworn duty, Mr. Obama, is to stand against what you stand for. You are not my president. You are not my commander-in-chief. Unquote. Back to Mr. Williams. There's nothing at all ambiguous about this statement. The basis upon which Commander Fitzpatrick makes his charge is equally straightforward. Again, another quote here. You, Mr. Obama, have broken in and entered the White House by force of contrivance, concealment, conceit, dissembling, and deceit. Posing as an imposter, President and Commander-in-Chief, you have stripped civilian command and control over the military establishment. Known military criminal actors, command racketeers, are now free in the exercise of military government intent upon destruction of America's constitutional government. Now, there's more to this. You can find this and other articles on the Internet. I just recommend Googling Naval Lieutenant Commander Charges Obama with Treason. Now, that's my first message. Now, we have some patriotic clothing manufacturers, and I have an important announcement to share with the listeners. I think you're going to find this a little bit of a different flavor, and it's not often that I share this sort of stuff, but it's worth taking a look at. Okay, there is a clothing label on a garment in a photo, and in French it says, "Lavez à la main à l'eau tiède, savon doux entendre pour sécher, ne pas javel." I'm trying to read this. It's twisted, like sort of like a birth certificate. Javalisez, okay, ne pas javalisez, ne pas sécher à la machine, ne pas repasser. Nous sommes désolés que notre président soit un idiot. Nous avons pas votre... wait, let me say that last one again. This says, nous avons pas voté pour lui. Okay, now I will translate for you. It says, this is a clothing label from a small American company that sells their product in France. Here's the translation of the French part of the label. Wash with warm water. Use mild soap. Dry flat. Do not use bleach. Do not dry in the dryer. Do not iron. We are sorry that our president is an idiot. We did not vote for him. What a way to get a message out around the world. Put it on a clothing label in a foreign language. My hat is off to that company. I don't know their name. I would probably go out and buy some of their products and pass it around. But I thought you might appreciate that. Well, let's get on to some serious business. Our guest tonight is a former U.S. Marine from the years 1967 through 1977. He has his own talk radio show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. He is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. He is a researcher, and he is a patriot, and he is my good friend brought to us by Marianne Ponder. And I should say the late Marianne Ponder. Our guest tonight Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on your show once again. I really appreciate it.
My
and
pleasure.
I would like for you to go through the English portion of the quote again, please.
You want the English portion, okay.
I'm not much into the French portion because the French portion is nothing like what we speak in Louisiana. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, well, this was high French here. It is a little bit difficult because this was sort of scrunched down into, or, you know, compressed into a smaller picture. And as I'm looking at the words, you feel like you want to say one thing because the word sort of looks like another word, you know. Oh, anyway, in English, it's very clear. It says, wash with warm water, use mild soap, dry flat, do not use bleach, do not dry in the dryer, do not iron. We are sorry that our president is an idiot. We did not vote for him. It's actually on the clothing.
It's actually on the label. Watch in warm water. We're sorry, president. Our president.
Exactly. That's what it says.
Is an idiot.
Yes, and then it says we did not vote for him.
Oh gosh.
Now the English version doesn't have those last two sentences on it. You see. So, kind of an ingenious way to get out a political message, isn't it?
Very ingenious, to say the least. Okay.
Oh, well, Drew, you got to listen to last night's show. We had the famed Pastor James David Manning, PhD, on the show, and. I was a bit surprised. He wanted to hear a little bit about my take on Orly Tates and the role she's playing in these lawsuits and some of my research on Obama. And it's turning out that there are a lot of people that have read this material and are agreeing with the general premise of what I've written. Of course, we need proof. We're not even getting a piece of paper proof from him, but I've certainly analyzed documents and the photos and made some discoveries that actually put a very interesting and likely accurate twist on the whole story. What have you been hearing on your end? And I know you've been following these lawsuits as well.
Oh, yeah, have I ever. I mean, there are more. I wish I had.
Okay, now we seem to have lost Drew, so I'm going to keep talking here and see if we can bring him back on board with us. He just disappeared, totally out of the picture. Let's see if we can get him back here, and we're going to hear a ring here. See if. We may not be able to get him. This may turn into a real disaster here. Drew, are you with us? I think he's picked up. Drew, we're not hearing you, but I know you're on the call. So I'll keep going here. Speak up when you can hear me, if you can hear me. Don't know what else to say. Looks like he's with us. We're just not hearing him.
There now.
I'm there. You sound like you're about 26,000 miles away.
I want to tell you, I had to go to another computer. The computer I was talking on, I'm sitting there talking, and the next thing I know, everything goes dead.
Okay, can you increase your volume a little bit?
This was an emergency setup. I mean, I just literally, I had to disconnect from Russia and connect with you over here on the other computer.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll call you, okay, on the phone, because this isn't going to cut it. So,
okay.
We'll call you here. Just give us a moment and we'll be right back, but please hang up. Hang up.
Yeah, I'll disconnect here, and you call me.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. If you could hear that, Drew was actually sounding like he was calling from space. Only we've had a call or two, and they're much clearer than that. We'll have them up in a moment, I'm sure. Seth is already on that for us. Seth, you let me know one way or another if you're able to reach him. And this happens. This is live radio. Oh, okay. You made it back. What? So did your computer blow up or what?
I have no idea. I was sitting here, and the next thing I know is I had a bunch of garbage on the screen. Literally. On the screen.
Okay.
You know, like somebody had come through and attacked the computer. They couldn't get into the computer, but they could attack the computer. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen shows like that on TV from time to time.
Well, welcome to Drew's world. see, the show was going through the other computer, going out there to Russia. We were actually beaming in the morning show, and I had to disconnect to get on the other side, and we're trying to get that one back up and running now.
Yeah, so, okay. All right. Yeah, Seth, I can hear loud and clear, so we're good to go.
Now, let's go back to the question, and I'll start off. You were asking me, I've been following the lawsuit.
Yeah, well, you got to hear Dr. Manning on the show, I think, last night, and we talked about the Orly Tate suit, and you and I and many others have been following these lawsuits that are popping up all over the place, and I kind of predicted on the basis of what I had seen that these are going to be thrown out for a number of reasons, but in particular this Captain Connie Rhodes case in Georgia. I thought you might want to comment on that.
There's my comment. There's my comment. You really want to talk about Connie Rose? I will tell you this much. Connie Rose is a live person. She is a live captain in the United States Army. She's been suckered in. The first lawsuit that Connie Rhodes' name appeared on was in the Middle District of Texas. Well, wait a minute. Number one, she doesn't live in Texas. She's not stationed in Texas. Her mother and father live in Texas, but she's never lived in that house that her mother and father live in. Number two, the lawsuit for Connie Rhodes against Barack Hussein Obama was filed in Texas, then it was turned around and filed in Ohio. She was stationed in Ohio at one time, but she doesn't live there. She doesn't hold a residence there. She has no driver's license there. But she is stationed, and she does live, and she does have an apartment in Georgia. And so the first lawsuit was literally thrown out by the Texas court. The Ohio court, it never got filed. Not in the district courts of Ohio. It wasn't there. It never was there, even though it was reported to be filed there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matter of fact, the email that was posted saying that there was a lawsuit in Ohio by Captain Rhodes, within the hour that email hit the massive email docket sheets around the United States where friends were getting back in touch with me, I found out it didn't exist, and I sent it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed it. We had a little link on that. And then what comes up next? Well, we get this massive email display that it's in Georgia. And as soon as I got that one, I went to Georgia and found the lawsuit. And I immediately pulled up the lawsuit, including the complaint, and sent it to you. And we both had a good laugh over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, those of you around the world, you have to understand, even a first-year law student at the University of Kazan, Russia, could put together a better lawsuit in translating the English language. And without the typographical errors, without the English mistakes, without the spelling errors, it was just ludicrous. And then there were several several pleadings that were put forth for injunction relief. And injunction? Did I say injunction?
Yeah.
I did, didn't I?
Well,
you should have seen how it was spelled. I almost fell over.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But the problem with the lawsuit in Georgia, Don, came about when the hearing went down. When the hearing comes down, the judge rules against the captain and chastises Orley Tate all the way through his, I think it was 7-page document. And the document that was 7 pages long was posted on the Legalese pacemaker site 1 hour. 1 hour after the courtroom vacated.
You mean the pacer site. Let's get the right word there. You said pacemaker.
Oh, did I say, well, you know, that's what I call it.
Maybe you
it's
called it by the
site,
right thing.
But I call it the pacemaker site.
Oh, okay.
That's a personal joke in my world.
Okay. So the long-legged Mac Daddy suit was on the pacemaker site is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Only the long-legged Mac Daddy wasn't listed in this lawsuit. She was suing her commanding officer.
Mm-hmm. Or two officers, I think, were named in there, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
She wasn't suing Obama. She was suing her commanding officer for following orders of Obama. But she had a lot of loopholes in the lawsuit that were not covered. And the lawyer and the judge puts this decision back 7 pages. That's basically a report or reporter's rendition, because he mentions the term birthers, etc. All the way through this document chastising Orley Tate. And
it was like listening to MSNBC, wasn't it? Or
well,
you know, one of the cable channels.
It sounded more. It really sounded more like I was reading from CBS.
Hmm.
You know, CBS television and radio. But you're right.
Yeah.
MSNBC is just as bad. Doesn't make any difference. And when it was all said and done, I clocked this. From the time that the courtroom adjourned to the time this was placed up on Pacer, it was 58 minutes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what in the racing world would you call that the 250-mile-per-hour race car on a one mile track, oval track, and the car can go 258 miles an hour. You can't drive a car 258 miles an hour around a 1 mile oval. Period. No way on God's earth.
You won't stay on around.
You won't stay on the track.
Sure. Yeah.
But this sucker was posted out there for the world to see in the chastising, and the ruling against the captain mandated that they pay legal fees.
Yes.
To the defendant.
Yes.
Now, I never heard of such a thing.
Now, what I found extremely interesting is that there was a bit more, but not completely, but the stay, the request for a stay of this order, a 10-day stay, was a bit more thorough in outlining the points, and referenced in a very vague way, referenced the language used, because it was very sarcastic, and it was like listening to someone in mainstream media saying that, well, you know, these people, they're calling us birthers. Anyone that questions a constitutional issue over a certificate of live birth and citizenship is being called a birther. Like, this is something that all of a sudden now we have to accept. You know, it's a degradation. It's a mocking of people who are standing up for our constitutional rights, demanding that the government followed this, that the Justice Department does this. And this guy, to me, it sounded as if Obama wrote the response himself. Really,
yeah.
It did. He used language like that during his address before the Congress a week or so ago.
I was really giving Michelle more credit.
Yeah. Well, not that we have to beat this dead horse, because it's not going to go anywhere. But now, and it's not because I wrote this article or I discovered this fact, but there's a new tidbit that came out. I heard you mention it on your show today about Orly Tate's husband. Share that with the listening audience, what you heard, because everyone who listens to this show with any regularity knows about the article I wrote. And that I revealed that her husband is working hand in hand with the H1N1 patent holder, which is the swine flu patent holder, Novartis. He's been working with them for at least the past 9 years, at least. And what did she say about that?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I'm on my show today. I said that I got several emails from groups of people advising me that Orly Tate had put out a memo that her husband did not and was not and had not worked with Novartis. But through my own personal research, I basically confirmed that he does, and he is.
Mm-hmm.
He actually has made deposits to Wells Fargo Bank from checks from Novartis.
Novartis, yeah.
I'm just a Cajun boy. I'm used to chasing alligators in the swamp and standing up against bullets in Vietnam. I mean, I'm one of those guys that out there. My language is not as good as yours, and God forbid I even get on the same radio station with Dr. James David Manning. That man is so articulate. I cringe at even thinking about being on a radio station with that guy. He is so insightful. He can read and articulate a conversation so well. But going back to Orly Tate's, where's all the misdirection coming from? What's it all about? And she is doing something, but is it really going anywhere? Now, she did file a lawsuit in California, and much to the chagrin of everybody, it was given to a former United States Marine that is a judge out there, well liked by the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
But they fail to understand this United States Marine, who is a judge, he's not a lapdog. He's a United States Marine first. He believes in the Constitution. And even though there were mistakes in the Orly Tate's lawsuit, he's allowed that sucker to go through. He has dismissed all attempts to dismiss the charges. It's like he wants to see some justice done. And with all the mistakes that are being plastered into the case, he basically is looking at it like, well, this isn't a lawyer that's filing this. This is a pro se litigant that's fresh out of law school or fresh out of some law training class that's filing the suit. And he's moving the case forward. Now, I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know if it's a justifiable case. This evening, there are a number of people out there emailing around the United States that Orly Tate is saying that she can have Obama out of office in 30 to 60 days, or 30 days. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen that capacity, that skill in her legal pleadings.
But I do know that she now has, in the California suit, she has got one of the top civil attorneys for the West Coast that is now involved in that team out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is one of those when I say top legal teams, his law firm is one of the top 10 that are ranked in the top 10 best civil lawsuit firms in the United States, not just on the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, Drew, you know, she's presenting this Kenyan birth certificate, and I suppose if she had one in Hawaii, and you heard what I told Dr. Manning on the show last night, he asked me what I thought was going to happen when they opened that vault, and I said it's going to be empty.
You may find nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm on board with Dr. Manning. I really am. I think that it's going to take a revolution in America to take America back and to bring justice to all citizens. The Kenyan birth certificate has got a footprint on it. And
it's a big one.
The footprint is just like your fingerprints on your hand.
Yeah.
So with that footprint, you know, there's some substantiating evidence there. I don't know where Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero, was born. I'm getting to the point where I don't care, because it's got to the point where everybody is out here every day browbeating the networks, talking about Barack Hussein Obama's birth certificate, and we know he's not born in the United States, but we're not in charge of Congress. We're not in charge of the United States Senate. We're not in charge of the Supreme Court. Our judicial system has been sabotaged from day one, since this jerk was put into office. We've got Acorn out there that is being found guilty of fraud, mismanagement, theft, downright misrecitals of law. And the people that are in the government, the people that are standing there with the authority pursuant to Title 18 to look into federal criminal law charges, they're not doing anything. So what do? You turn around and you say, okay, now look, it's time to stand up. We have a Declaration of Independence that was written a little over 244 years ago. And it's time to look at the Declaration of Independence and understand that in the Declaration of Independence it says the government the king, which basically the King George was being run over and the strings were being pulled by Lord North. Lord North was the real reason we had the vandalism in the colonies, the real reason that we didn't have our government in the colonies running the government the way it should be. Lord North was the one that was putting out all the information that was suspending our legislative bodies in the colonies. Lord North was the one that was behind the judges and were putting his will alone out onto the people. And the Declaration of Independence didn't come about because of taxation. Yes, everybody talks about the Revolutionary War was about taxation. That was just one hundredth of what was going on. Read the Declaration of Independence and understand that the king was sending our troops, his troops, around the world, on the high seas, ravaging other countries, ravaging the coasts of other countries, burning their towns, destroying the lives of hundreds of thousands and even millions of people around the world at that time. Well, what are we doing today, ladies and gentlemen? This jerk in Washington, D.C., as did the last three presidents, they've been sending our troops around the world, plundering countries of the world, murdering people around the world. It doesn't take rocket science to pick up an internet and go out there and look of how many people died here or how many people died there, the violations that are going on around the world.
Yeah,
right,
Drew.
Now, today, we've got a 1,339,000 people in Iraq that have died since we went into war there. Iraq didn't have anything to do with 2001 9/11. Afghanistan had nothing to do with 2001 9/11. Saudi Arabia did. And the number of the people that were supposedly involved in 9/11 have been found alive. One was sitting in a pub in London having a brew with his buddies and saw his name on the screen and a picture of himself.
Yeah. Dr. Qasem Khalil located 10 of those 19 so-called hijackers living in their countries in the Middle East. And you know, they went through the same thing you're describing. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to back up what you're saying. You see, what is going on, all of these things are diversions. They're serious, but they're diversions to get our attention on other things. And they throw the bird flu, throw Jane Burgermeister, all these side issues, throw those in there too. I want to read something to you and the listening audience. This backs up what you're saying. This has been about the embezzlement and the theft of trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Actually, in the thousands of trillions. Okay? Now we can safely say that it's in the quadrillions. About 5 quadrillion or 5,000 trillion, and a trillion is 1,000 billion, and a billion is 1,000 million. So imagine this. This is how pervasive the theft is. This is in a posting at worldreports.org, and I also put it in my news. I've been posting Chris Story stuff. He's getting the picture very, very succinctly now. Wanta, a financial terrorist working from within. Devious financial crook exposed by the man who bought his freedom. Now, this starts off with an immediate update after he posted this on the 16th at 12 noon. He says, immediate update. At 11:20 a.m. this morning, Eastern Daylight Time, the editor of this service received confirmed word that Timothy Geithner and Lawrence Summers yesterday instructed Ken Lewis, CEO of Bank of America, to block the settlements release. Now, he's referring to the prosperity settlements that I've been talking about for years. This action, therefore, reconfirms what is stated in this report, that the Obama administration is willfully resisting the will of the entire international community and of properly informed experts in the United States on the instructions of a cadre of foreign-directed traders headed by George H.W. DVD Bush Sr. Now, the DVD refers to the Dachau DVD, or the continuation of the Abwehr, the secret underground SS that they brought to America after World War II. There were also reports that the criminal operative Henry M. Paulson is involved in this sabotage. Update, 17 September. There are further reports that Ken Lewis, CEO of Bank of America, was threatened with physical liquidation if he were to release on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he was again instructed to release. Meanwhile, Paul Volcker, a 100% patriot of the old school, spoke out on Wednesday against the derivatives menace. He is not even now on speaking terms with Lawrence Summers, who, with Geithner, represents the Jewish serpent which has leveraged the world and doesn't want to give up control. Paul Volcker tried to break the back of these evil serpents, who always use maximum leverage once before in the 1980s. He is the only person of integrity on that stage. He has threatened to quit several times, but is hanging in there trying to do his best. The serpents work with the long-range pan-German Nazis meeting at Dachau. It's a marriage of convenience as their interests here coincide, but as in all serpents' nests or rats in a sack, the livestock turn on each other as soon as anything goes wrong. Like now. In memoriam, James McDonald suicided on Sunday, 13th December, from a gunshot wound. Chief executive of Rockefeller & Company, New York investment firm. found in a car behind an auto dealership located in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. Translation, murdered and dumped at the back of the dealership. Although he lived in New York City, he had a country place at New Bedford. Furthermore, McDonald was an operative having also studied in Virginia. It appears that he may have been murdered in New Bedford and then driven to Dartmouth. McDonald was the director of the Japan Society of New York, a detail which almost certainly has much to do with this probable assassination of a key financial operative. Finn Kasperson committed suicide on Wednesday, 9th of September. Ex-CEO of Beneficial Corporation, a large financial firm, faced tax evasion charges related to offshore accounts. Possible Taiwanese triad links. Found dumped behind an office building in Westerly, Rhode Island. Danny Pang, aged 42, a Newport Beach financier, died early on Saturday, 12th September, in a local hospital. Cause of death not so far reported. Christopher Kelly, former fundraiser for ex-Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Sudden death reported on Saturday, 12th September. An Illinois mayor stated that police are investigating the death, initially referenced as a suicide. One more here. Jody Powell, I think you might remember that name, 65, former spokesman for President Jimmy Carter. Extremely well-connected, would have known where all pertinent skeletons are buried, including background of Carter himself. He was reported to us on 16th December to have died suddenly. What does that tell you is going on here, Drew?
They're very succinctly murdering people. I know that some of the people you listed were in other countries.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So it's a systematic murder of people that have knowledge of the cabal and the destruction of the human race.
Yes.
That's
now,
what I see.
Yes, there's one more. That's very accurate. Now, there's one more statement that he adds. This is this addendum. This is not even the main article. He says, $15 billion missing from settlement funds. On Wednesday, 16th September, the editor was informed that two tranches consisting of $9 billion and $6 billion had been diverted from the settlement funds and were, quote, footloose and looking for a home on Wall Street. And this has been a mantra that we hear in the news, that the economy is looking good, it's on the upswing, when nothing can be further from the truth. His previous article was that Bernanke was behind the stealing of the funds. And now, in this particular article, he ties in the Leo Wanta dimension of this. It covers everything, 9/11 and everything since then. So, even says Bernanke's recovery is a lie, too. A huge downwave beckons. So this is something worth reading, folks, and I wanted to share that with you because it backs up the statement you made. This has been going on for hundreds of years. Little by little, creeping up, and it's hit a fever pitch within the last 8.5 months already. The country's nearly destroyed. Nearly.
And it's not just the destruction of the United States of America. It's the destruction of other countries around the world.
Yes.
Everybody puts the fear out there. Well, we got to do this. If we don't do that, the Russians are coming. If we don't do this, the Chinese are coming. If we don't do this, we're going to get the United Nations troops coming over here and making us take the swine flu. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand one big thing. I'm getting reports from around the world. They're having the same problems in other countries. The Russians aren't going to take any vaccinations. They don't want any vaccinations. They're not doing any vaccinations. The Russian government's not doing any vaccinations. They're telling their citizens to get colloidal silver machines or buy colloidal silver or take vitamin D3 in large doses, or get oh man, I want to tell you, you're talking about something that stinks. They got an herb out there they affectionately call the dungy herb. And this sucker, you take the resin of this tree that grows in Pakistan or China, it grows in Pakistan, China, and Afghanistan. The only places in the world that it grows. But you go up to this tree and you milk it like you're milking, sap up in Maine or Vermont for syrup.
Or maple syrup, huh?
Yeah. But there's one big problem. If you're harvesting maple syrup in Vermont, New Hampshire, or Maine, you don't smell it. And it's also sweet.
Yeah.
If you do this on these trees in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and China, and you can smell it a quarter of a mile away. It stinks. Now we're talking about harvesting it from the tree. We're not just talking about one tree. If you're just harvesting from one tree, you better back up about 20 or 30 yards.
Now what happens to you after you take it?
If you get it on your clothes.
What happens after you take it?
But it effectively destroys H1N1 flu virus.
Hmm.
And guess who found that out? The Russians. And they gave it to the Swedes. And the Swedes gave it to the Dutch. And the Dutch gave it to the Brits. And now they can't keep it shut up in Europe.
Hmm.
And the name of the herb, I've got the name of the herb out here, other than calling it dungy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have it in front of me. I didn't know I was going to talk about that.
Neither did I.
That's how our conversations go, ladies and gentlemen. We start off talking about oily taste, and we end up talking about something that smells like cow manure.
Well, you know, it's a good wrap for what we've been talking about. Okay, so you know people in Russia that are actually taking this now, then you're saying?
Yes.
Well, I guess cheers. Do they drink this or do they put this in a pill or something? How are they consuming it?
It's taken in a pill form because of the odor.
Oh.
Okay. You don't want to take it any other way.
Okay? Wow. Well, I guess we'll find more about it. If you get any information about that beyond what you've already described, certainly feel free to share it with me, and I'll share it with the listeners.
Oh, yeah, I'll be more than happy to.
Now,
one day at a time.
Give us an update on as to what you're hearing is going on in other parts of the world in general. And I don't care what the topic is. I think we've exhausted the ones we're talking about.
Well, I'll tell you something that came across today on my show with Bob Chapman. Toward the end of the show, we got a report from one of the girls out of Southern California that there was a ship, a United States naval ship, that was sequestered at sea and quarantined because of the H1N1 flu virus that was given to the 357 complement of the crew. And the ship is on its way back in after being quarantined and sequestered at sea for 28 days now. But two people have died.
This is through the vaccination, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And two people have died, and the ship is supposed to be back in port tomorrow. But, you know, some of that information is classified, and I don't have the name of the ship. But I do know that the person that's giving this is the wife of an ensign, and she's basically almost hysterical. but her husband is was one of the infected crew members, and he says that when he came down with it in the beginning, a high fever and then regurgitation, and more like it was like a dysentery, just, you know, a lot of regurgitation and a lot of sweating. And on the third day, he was placed in the infirmary, and for 2 days he didn't have any basic liquids because they didn't have any. And then the Navy emergency crew came on board. They were dressed in white suits, mask and everything, and they treated the members of the crew as well as put this one ensign on IVs. And he was on IVs for 5 days. So that was that's one little story that came out today at the end of my show. And then there was other information that came through throughout the day that's coming in around the world. Marines are upset that we don't have leadership. They're upset that the American people are basically believing that blue helmets are going to come here from other countries when they themselves are out there in other countries, and they're seeing other countries standing up to their governments. Nobody's talking about the riots in Greece. Nobody's talking about the riots in Iceland. Nobody's talking about the riots in France or Spain or Portugal. Granted, they're not going on right now in any big mass, but they're still... they're still in the streets, so to speak.
Well, our own media even lied to the whole country and said in the first reports, and this was after this Tea Party that took place last weekend in Washington, D.C., that there were some 60,000 right-wing, they call them Republican protesters, that marched on Washington. And we've been getting updates periodically. The first update I got was there were 2.5 million people there, and some speculate it may have been as high as 3 million, possibly even 4 million. Now, I wasn't there. I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you I saw wall-to-wall people in an aerial shot, and I can tell you there were far more than 600 people. There were over 60,000 people. There were 20 times or more 60,000.
Well, I was able to look
in
at
the
some
picture.
Aerial shots that were taken at the Obama inauguration. On the day of the inauguration, the Park Service said there was approximately 800,000. Now, they took pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And they took pictures from the air, and what was very unique about those photographs, they shot pictures all the way through the movement of people getting up in the morning at 6 o'clock and going down to the parade route, going all the way over to the Lincoln Memorial and standing there in the park in front of the Lincoln Memorial, going all the way out across the great park there, and the pictures after the aftermath, it looked like a city dump at the Lincoln Memorial, and it took the park crews 2 days to clean the place up. 2 days. We're not talking about 2 days, 1 or 2 hours. We're talking about 2 days, 10-hour shifts. They even brought in the people that were in jail at the District of Criminals, the city jail, for people that were there for minor crimes, i.e. misdemeanors, and had them picking up trash.
And that's 800,000 people at the inauguration.
This is the inauguration. This is strictly the inauguration. I looked at the aerial photographs from last Saturday, and it was quite obvious there was at least twice as many bodies, human bodies, down there with no police. I mean, the one that was done with the 800,000, there had to be at least a division of Army personnel lining the streets as guards all the way around the place and around the rotunda for Lincoln. There must have been at least four or five squads of military personnel armed to the teeth. But you didn't see any military personnel in the photographs that were done last weekend. In some of the photographs, they had one time-lapse camera set up, and for it was taking a shot every 2 minutes, and that camera recorded over an hour of the massive amount of people walking up to the walking into Washington D.C. in the parade route. That was a whole hour and a half of video, and taking a shot of every minute and a half. Now to 2 minutes, the aerial photographs plainly shows at least double the number of participants last weekend. This idea that there were 600 or 60,000, that's not even laughable. That's like taking your head up and putting up your posterior and saying, well, I found two ingrown hairs.
What a visual that was. I get the point. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, they conducted the media interviews after all those people had left. And you can see that that people walked on the lawn. That's evident that many, many people walked on the lawn.
There wasn't
a shred of trash anywhere.
There was one thing unique about last Saturday that the British newspaper put out in their front page. We talked to the Park Service, and the Park Service said that this was the most respectful crowd, the most integrated crowd that had been to the state capitol, the nation's capitol, in their lifetime. And when the people left, they didn't even need to have a cleaning crew go out and pick up trash. Because when the people departed to go back to their states, whether they were from Hawaii or Alaska or Florida or North Dakota, they picked their own trash up and took it with them. The place looked like a regular Saturday in Washington D.C. Very little trash anywhere, but the grounds, you could visibly see the 300 acres of grass had been trampled pretty severely. But if you've got close to 2 million people standing out there on the grass for an hour and a half listening to speeches, the grass is going to take a beating. But the people picked up their trash and they left. And the British paper also reported that they had talked with one of the senior officials at the Park Service, and he admitted to them that off the record, it looks like we've got about 2.5 million. But until I get through the rest of my staff, I won't know. And then obviously somebody got to him and says, by the way, we're only going to report 60,000. That's a joke.
Yeah.
But you don't hear anything. These people in Washington, D.C., it is as bad as watching a movie called V for Vendetta. People don't have the truth because they're force-fed some BS over the airwaves, and we have got the reality of theatrical entertainment out there that shows what happens to governments that ignore the people. RoboCop. One of the announcers in RoboCop 2, she was reading the lies from pieces of the newspaper, and finally she stands up and says, I'm not reading this trash anymore. Throws it down on the desk on live news and walks out.
Hmm.
from reading a story about how good things were when in actuality things weren't good.
Yes.
And then we got V for Vendetta, where the masses amount of people weren't being told the truth, and the little girl goes out and she's spraying V on top of on the side of a wall somewhere, and the government thug shoots and kills this little girl, 7, 8, 9 years old, actress, and the citizens come and kill the guy right there because they've had enough.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie of V, the people stand up in mass, and that's what's about to happen. I'm not really that enthused about what happened last Saturday, because what really got accomplished in the form of did anybody do anything? Did we get a leader out of this group, this meeting? Did they accomplish anything? But that was a statement that was made by Dr. Manning today, and I never got the opportunity to call in to say, yes, Mr. Manning, they did accomplish something. They let the people of the world, the people of America, the people that want to know the truth. They got there. They showed their presence. And they took their pictures. They've taken the photographs home, and they're spreading them around the world on YouTube, on emails, to each other, and the people around the United States are finding out that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
We're not alone. Yeah. There were thousands of people that went to a meeting in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in Austin, Texas, in Sacramento, California, in Las Vegas, Nevada, in Carson City, Nevada, in Phoenix, Arizona, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They didn't do anything up in New York, because New York is right up the road from Washington, D.C. The Tea Party people in New York, they went to D.C. But there was a lot of people, Don, that lived in Texas, that they couldn't afford the trip. There were a lot of Texans that went, but there were a lot more that couldn't afford it. The same thing here in Arkansas, the same in Oklahoma, the same in Louisiana and Mississippi. They had their meetings in their state capitals.
Yeah.
So you talk about 2 million in Washington. Well, wait a minute. Multiply that by 25. That's what the government's own stats say. For everybody that comes to Washington D.C. upset, there's 25 more people that couldn't make it because they couldn't afford it, or they couldn't find the babysitters. They couldn't afford to bring the kids with them.
Yeah, or it was just impossible for them to get there for one reason.
Impossible for them to get there.
Yeah.
Maybe they do weekend work, and they're with the jobs the way they are, they couldn't afford to lose the job they have.
Yeah, I want to share some signs with you, Drew. I got one of those emails from a friend that received these. They're in picture form, but I want to read this. These are some catchy slogans. Ladies holding up a sign, big sign that says, "An angry mom is worse than an angry mob." There's a senior citizen holding an American flag, a gentleman. "If you're not outraged, you're not paying taxes. Obama, Reid, Pelosi, the axis of taxes." There's another one here. It says, "You can't fix stupid, but you can vote it out." Then there's one here that says, "Obamacare, hands off my body." There's another one here.
What about the one that says, "This time we came unarmed"?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll read that. "Think of their track record. Having government manage your health care is like having Michael Vick watch your dog." The teacher gives Obamacare an F. Here's one here. This is a good one. Now, somebody took a picture of Nancy Pelosi and caricatured it a bit, and took a little bit of artistic license. But it still looks like her. says, too bad cars don't run on stupidity. Here's another one. It doesn't matter what this sign says. You call it racism anyway. And then there's a picture of the Pennsylvania Avenue. And, Drew, I'll tell you, there's several stadiums full of people just standing in the street in this one shot. And it's by no means all the people that were there.
Oh, no.
Another sign a guy's holding, don't tee on my leg and tell me it's raining. He said tea as in the drink. Let's see. You can't multiply wealth by dividing it. Who will bail out the government is another one. A lady with a baby stroller, her little son sitting in the stroller, holding up a sign, $38,400 already in debt before my first birthday. Here's a great one. If you have time to read my sign, try reading some legislation. And they've got a hearse painted Obamacare on the side with a do not enter sign imposed over the words government run health care. And then on the back window of the door, the swinging door where they put the coffin in, it says official pace car. So
people were having fun.
You can see there was a lot of creativity. A lot of people had things to say. And, now that one sign you referred to, we came unarmed in parentheses this time. That's the one you were
right.
Quoting. And then they show, after the 9/11 protesters, it looks like 9/11 there. You know, it's another battle zone. And then you see the crowd, the last hangers-on of the crowd leaving the area, and there's not a lick of paper on the lawn there at the Washington Mall.
See, that backs up what I was told.
Yeah, and this is a reflection on people that love their country and despise what's going on. And they have a right. They have a right to say these things, don't they?
According to the founding of this nation, they do. But according to Nancy Pelosi, no, they don't. But
yeah.
She's getting a full taste of it.
Well, you know, it gets more and more ridiculous by the day, but, you know, I have some good news to share. I can tell you that Acorn, and this has been mentioned on a couple of shows. I mentioned it on the show last night. Acorn has come under fire, and there's a serious investigation now because they were charged with voter fraud. It was the old Mayor Daley style Chicago politic of having the dead people vote and swinging those votes, removing ballots and things like that. Well, it wasn't even a close race in this election, not at all. This was just an Illuminati power play, and you know, you have the Rockefellers trying to seize power, trying to exert authority over the Rothschilds. That's what's really going on. And this is all about money. This is all about absolute power, and we can talk about the one world government. You know, you've got the Bilderberg Group pulling the strings in the background, controlling all of the PSYOP, the black op agencies that wreak all the havoc on the world through the poisoning of our atmosphere, our water, our food. These people are deprived of anything good. They're really demented, pathological, you could say, and psychotic. And we're witnessing this. You know, I've tried to stay out of all this stuff, Drew. and I know you do, but you get drug into it, you know, because you were in the military and you have contact with a lot of the soldiers that are around the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get, you know, please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. You can't escape it. That's your listening audience on your show. And they have a right to a voice. You're doing the right thing, but you're speaking for the American people and you're speaking for people all around the world, not just the military. They're there living with those people. You've done that. And in a sense, I've done that, although I wasn't in the military as I did it. I lived amongst people all around the world, and I got along with everybody. And that's how people are. Governments are not that way, are they?
No.
By design, they're not that way.
Not by design. And here's a unique thing I had on my show today. A number of people agreed in IMs to me that governments of men that rule countries as tyrants are not the people. They force themselves on what the people onto the people, and a number of people from around the world in different countries made comments many times throughout the show that if the president of the United States and Congress wants to fight wars in other countries, Why aren't they just out there in the battle forms? Why don't they fight and be the army, and we would have fewer wars?
Oh yeah, they should take the vaccines first. You know,
yeah.
They should get the vaccines, then send them out. And
exactly.
I've said that. You know, use NASA and go to another planet and stay there. Leave us alone. You know, the treason that's being committed, the corruption that's being committed, and unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of well-meaning people that just don't get what's going on. They see everything is wrong, and they think, oh, we have to wait 4 years, and then we'll vote somebody else in. And they say that all the time, don't they, Drew? But it doesn't happen because they don't really understand how this has been designed. Why don't you comment on that a bit?
In their design?
Well, you know, the system is not designed for us to vote and honestly elect the best person. They put in there who they want.
Exactly. And we don't have that. It's like right now, here we are. This is, what, September the 18th. In most places around the world. And one of the unique things about right now is a year ago, close to a year ago, we were going to the polls. Many of us were absentee ballot voting. And we were voting for the President of the United States, and there was a lot of fraud going on. And here it is, September the 18th, 2009, and in New Mexico, one of the states that was barely won by Obama, they have uncovered 1,100 voter fraud ballots that Acorn filed in that one county. And if you were to take all 61 counties of New Mexico, the election result would switched, turned around. We've got so much voter fraud around the United States. Now there's going to be an investigation. Well, why hasn't there been an investigation these last 8 months, Don?
Why wasn't there an investigation during
What's going on at the FBI? What's going on at the state FBI agencies?
What about during the election itself, during the campaign, you know, during these caucuses? We got reports out of Washington, out of Oregon, out of Idaho, that these groups that were supporting Ron Paul went into the caucuses, and they took the ballots and dumped them in the garbage and said, this is the way it's going to be, and and they stood up to this tyranny, and they adjourned the meeting and left the building, and the people stayed there and under protest and carried on a discussion and got their points across, but we still ended up with corruption. We ended up with electronic voting machines that were obviously tampered with. There were accounts, there were YouTube videos where the guy said, I'm standing at the machine, I cast my vote for Ron Paul, and right before my eyes, the vote was changed. And I called somebody over and showed him, and I went back and I recast that vote. The person cleared it, and it changed back again. Now, I think he did it three times. Finally, he left the place. But there was no way for him to cast his own votes. You understand what I'm saying? He could not record his intention. And the system didn't allow him to do that. That's how pervasive the corruption is. So you can assume that occurred all over the place. I saw the map of the actual vote count. Now, I'm seeing a map, but you know, this was several months after the inauguration when this map came out. And there were four states, according to the map, that were red states. Those went to Obama. And there were two states that looked like there were a tie between him and McCain. The rest of the states were all blue states. So out of, you know, if you give him the benefit of the doubt, he won six states and lost 44 states. Yet he's in the White House. We still don't have the documentation. We know that the DNC, through the signed papers, and you mentioned Nancy Pelosi at the Denver Democratic National Convention, when they filled out those papers, they took the constitutional aspect out of the statement, and it's found in the state's version of that document, but they took it out of the federal document. And I mentioned to you and my listening audience, even as far back as last October, I was privy to a phone call made to the Democratic National Committee. It was a conference call, and we asked to speak to Howard Dean, who was the head of the committee at that time. And we were told he couldn't come to the phone. He was in a meeting. Okay, so my friend voiced his concern about Obama not having complied with the constitutional provisions, and that the Federal Election Commission was seemingly ignoring this as well. And he voiced his concern about this. And the secretary responded, oh, don't worry about it. That's already been taken, dealt with in court. That's been handled. It's a dead issue. And he was enraged and began telling her what he thought about it, and she just hung up the phone. That's how they handle business. Now,
that's what they're doing right now today.
Yeah, there is a record of that.
Where are we at, Don? If we've got this line of succession out there, the line of secession, if we bring down Obama, i.e. Barry Sotero, and if he's removed from office pursuant to the Constitution, because there's tens of millions of Americans out there, basically, very sadly, they don't know that the 17th day of September was Constitution Day, but those of us that do know that yesterday was Constitution Day, and understand what the Constitution is, we're trying to do things our way peacefully in our peaceful revolution. And it's sad that I can't play the audio clip that I played on my radio show today, but with Pastor James David Manning calling for a revolution. And he says that a revolution is here, it's brewing, and Americans across America are moving forward with a revolution. And if we successfully remove Obama from office, that's going to take out not only Obama, but who is next in line? The vice president? The vice president is to be sworn into office, but I believe that Biden would not be constitutionally eligible.
None
to
of them would
Obama
be for that. Yeah. None of them would be.
Because this usurper gained office via fraud, and Biden is his choice. Therefore, we've got a fraudulent man bringing forth a fraudulent man, and an entire a group of men and women sitting on the cabinet are all appointed fraudulently. So who goes in? We've got to have an entirely new cabinet. But who's the next person after Biden? Of all people, it's Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you know, the way this all came about, though, I mean, the fraud is at the top. You can't honor appointments made by under fraudulent circumstances. It just doesn't fly.
Well, that throws everybody in leadership in Washington out the door.
Well, yes. Well, let's address that for a moment in our closing moments here. What good are they doing our country? Any of them. What good are they doing right now?
None. I mean, to be quite honest with you, you could close down Washington, D.C. We don't need more laws. They're not doing us any good. They're not protecting our borders. They're causing wars. They're empire builders, but they're not doing people any good.
Yeah, well, they're building their own empire. They're not building an empire for us.
Oh, well, I never said they were building an empire for us.
Yeah, I'm just making a point. I'm not arguing with you, you know.
I understand. I know you're not arguing with me. This is one of those conversations that my blood gets boiling because where do we go? We go down the list. Well, Nancy Pelosi has a legal right to be in line for the presidency because she's an elected official and she's the number one chief cook and bottle washer of Congress. And who comes after her?
Well, then we go
to Robert Byrd.
Let's stop a second before we concern ourselves with that, and let's look at who participated in the corruption and facilitating 9/11.
I was going to go with that with Robert Byrd. Now you've got Nancy Pelosi. She gets thrown out because of her culpability. Okay. Of bringing in the long-legged Mac Daddy by signing off that his birth date and his rightful standing become the president because she's part of the fraud. Therefore, she can't hold the job. Robert Byrd's culpability in 2001. And then we go to who's next? The Secretary of State. But wait a minute. The Secretary of State is the Marxist Hillary Rodham Clinton. But
she's
there's
involved
a
in the money
out there
and the
against
theft.
Her even holding the office as Secretary of State. But how could she hold the office when she was put there by a fraudulent person? So the entire cabinet's out.
Yes.
So who comes next? Who comes next? The minority leader of the House of Representatives. It goes all the way down to the in the cabinet post, and then it comes back to Congress.
Well, then it goes to the resolutions declaring Barack Obama and John McCain legally eligible to, you know, constitutionally eligible, or however they worded it. We don't even know. It was a secret meeting.
It was a secret meeting, but we're talking about, you know, now you're pulling hairs on the fact that they can have these people there. I'm talking about legitimately pulling them out of office and the heck with the resolution because it's not binding in on its face.
Of course, that's what I'm
so
saying.
We still have to have a leader of government. So we come all the way back down to a properly elected individual who is the minority House leader of the United States Congress. Then that is the man that runs the House of Representatives for the Republican Party.
Well, I say we tried a lot of them on the basis of constitutional violations, torts that apply to the usurpation of our civil rights.
And, well, now you're getting down to the point that Dr. James David Manning and I are personally on that threshold revolution.
Yeah.
And taking them all out. And taking every one of them and trying all of 444 individuals for treason. Because that's what they've done. They're in treason. I'm talking about all 435 representatives in the Congress and the Senate,
yeah.
i.e. 544, because we've got to add the 9 members of the United States Supreme Court. So we got 544, then you've got the President of the United States and the Vice President and all the Cabinet members.
Yeah, and then we got to conduct
every one of them are culpable in this. Now, granted, there's going to be, you know, some very rare cases. Ron Paul has not been able to do anything, and he's done his best. So I don't, you know, but that's for those of us that are sitting on the jury to decide. And we need to hang all these guys. And I don't mean hang them literally. I mean put them in jail, put them in prison, and sequester their money, take their assets away from them, and then go back and start trying the last group of presidents dating all the way back to Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, and then you've got to address all the issues of the corruption that's occurred, the theft of people's property, their private property.
You know, and then there are people out there that have bought a house and that was done in foreclosure that was stolen from an individual in foreclosure. So what do you do with the people like that lost the house? Are you going to go and say, okay, well, Mr. Jones, you bought Drew's house that was fraudulently stolen from him, but we're going to kick you out? That's not fair. But I look at the idea, okay, well, all these people that lost their houses under fraud, we've got all these other houses out there across America that are empty, that are owned by these people, like Robert Byrd. He owns 37 houses that he has sitting out there as rental property.
Well, you see, when you stop the financial corruption, you instantly open the opportunity to bring prosperity to all the people. And you remember how, we read this in the history books when they freed the slaves. They gave them a plot of land and a mule and a plow so that they could earn money, okay? Now, whether that's true or not...
hold it. You're talking to the big guy here. My family owned a group of slaves, and my great-great-great-grandfather actually gave all the slaves, when he was ordered to release all of his slaves, he gave the male... And his the wife of the slave family a mule and 20 acres.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's an example. Now we don't know if that occurred in every instance. Likely
no.
It didn't. Okay.
No, it didn't, because there was over 1,000 slaves that were released over in Alabama that had been brought. On a slave ship by a British crew. Note that was a British crew that brought these slaves in on 3 ships, and they were being held in a jail. They couldn't speak English. They didn't speak English. They were headhunters from Africa, and they were released on the public there in Alabama. And the Alabama state militia had to go out and hunt these men down because they were raping and killing Americans. After the northern carpetbaggers went to the jails and released these men, and some of those northern carpetbaggers were murdered by these Negro slaves.
Well, I can't justify the murder, but I'm sure after having been enslaved for how long, they might have been more than just a little upset.
Well, they were captured. They were sold into slavery by the Zulus. Okay? Yeah. I mean, everybody talks about the white man put the is the slave owner. Wait a minute here, people. The Negroes of Africa put the Negroes on the ships themselves. They sold their brothers to slavery. White men didn't go to Africa. The Zulu tribes and many other the Congo tribes would capture other tribal areas, and they and the what were they fighting for? They were fighting for the women, because in Africa men outnumbered the women 3-1. So they would go off and go to war against another tribe to be able to have the women.
Hmm.
Most people don't know history, Don. They don't bother to study it.
Yeah, well, today most people aren't even paying attention to what's going on right before their eyes.
Well, exactly. Look at China. Here's a classic example. In China, the male population in China outnumbers the female population in China 2.3-1. A Chinese woman can pick and choose her husband with no problem. And yet, Chinese women want to marry American men to leave China because they don't want to be over there under the thumb and the rule of the system of China.
Yeah.
And they would much rather come here and live in abject poverty here in America with some American white man or black man then marry a Chinese man of their own culture, of their own language. That shows you how desperate and the knowledgeable those the Chinese women are. And
yeah.
Yet China is ready to go to war because they have a military army of over 600,000 men between the age of 18 and 45. 600 million. 600 million. That's twice our population in the United States of every man, woman, and child, and illegal alien.
Yeah. Well, it's like this all over the world, and right now, you know, the issue we have here, we're going to have to end the show here, Drew. I just want to make this comment that, you know, we've got to take care of business here. It comes back to that old word, responsibility. We've got to face the fact that we have these issues to deal with, but it's certainly a lot better than the outcome if we do nothing about it. Maybe some work. People are out of jobs. People will have jobs. We'll have a lot of work to do, and we have to set about fixing this country again from one coast to the other. From top to bottom and side to side. You know, the roads are deteriorating. I know of stimulus money that's in the schools that's being stolen to replace the money that was stolen in prior years. And this has all become a part of this corruption in New York and internationally. The embezzled funds. It's worse. It's worse than it was. And I had predicted that. My listeners can vouch for me. They've heard me from day one say, who is this guy? He's not who he says he is. And it's turning out that way. And still there aren't enough people paying attention to what's going on. So I want to give you a closing remark here and we have to say goodnight.
A closing remark?
Closing remark.
I got a closing remark for you. You take this to the bank. We have a man out there in
Wait a minute. Which bank? There's over 2,000 banks that failed.
Pick and choose one that you can trust.
Okay.
Can one.
All right. Go ahead.
But you go out there you look to the state of Idaho, and out in Idaho there's a man by the name of Don Harkin who has a newspaper and putting out the truth. We have learned today that he is out of intensive care, but we still need to be praying for Don Harkin and Ingrid, and let them know that we are praying the newspaper is basically been put on hold, and you need to basically put these people in your prayers, because we need men like Don to get better, to get well, because we're being murdered. A lot of us that are bringing forth the truth, that are doing the research, or being attacked left and right, one way or the other, very succinctly out there. And we need to let you know that right now, this evening, at one of the free public newsletter that goes out, and they do a fantastic job putting out a free republic newsletter of the truth and the hardcore stories that people need to know about. That family is being attacked, and the publisher is suspending his newsletter until October. That's 2 weeks off because of his family problems that encompass the dastardly deed of the man's daughter being beaten up and attacked by his former son-in-law. What's going on out there? I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, anybody, Don Nikoloff, Don Harkin, myself, we're barely making our living. We barely scrape the bucket, but we need your prayers. I'm not going to go quietly in the night. I'm not going to give up. At the beginning of the tonight's show, a virus hit my computer that came diddy-bopping in as an attachment email that I didn't even have the option to decline, and it took my computer down. I've watched the sucker get cleaned up this last hour and a half, and it's still not clean. We're only on 4% in the cleaning posture of a main virus protection program that goes in and succinctly just gets that out, so I can have that computer back up and running. But it's going to take the next 3 hours to clean it. You've got to understand, people, that we fight every day, every night, every morning around the world. We try to bring in people like Megan Love down in Australia, who controls my website. Larissa in Sochi, Russia, who's beaming this signal right now in Russia to a morning crew. To Doug's wife, who's running the overnight show there in Northern Ireland, beaming this show on 4 radio stations out there. And I want to thank Volova.
I think it's Sokolova.
What she's doing.
I would guess it's pronounced Sokolova.
Lakovaga.
Sokolova.
And she's not a Russian. That's her name, but because she is the daughter of a Russian woman that was married to an Irishman. She's like half Russian and half Irish. And you're talking about a woman that gets a little PO'd, she doesn't mind yelling and screaming. And she yells and screams in 4 different languages, according to Doug. But she sees the truth. And we all unite to get the truth out there around the world. So those of you that are listening, whether it's live or whether you're down in Venezuela and you're listening to it on a recording tomorrow afternoon, or in Southeast Asia tomorrow, tonight, tonight the 18th. But I want you all to know, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you listening. I just wish that you would stop and think about coming out and supporting the financial endeavors that are needed at BBS Radio, that are needed by Don Nikoloff, and that are needed by Don Harkin, and others that have come out here and fight for the truth, and for Dr. James David Manning. Have you taken time to listen to his radio show? 12 noon East Coast time to 3 p.m. If you are at work, set up a recording station and record it. No, you don't even have to do that. You can go in and when you get home and listen to his show instead of watching that idiot box that hypnotizes you. And get off your can and th- throw away that seven-course dinner, i.e. that hot dog and that six-pack of beer. And if you're affluent, it's a nine-course dinner, i.e. a bottle of champagne, some caviar, a hot dog, and a six-pack. And get into reality out here to know what the truth is. Yesterday, the 17th day of September, was Constitution Day, but you didn't hear it anywhere in mainstream media. But you heard Glenn Beck talk about it, and everybody wants to go down on him. I'm not saying that Glenn Beck is the all-powerful one person to talk, but I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people out here that know what the truth is, that has witnessed several trillion dollars stolen. And you can't imagine, those of you out there that know somebody that won the lotto, that maybe they didn't win $160 million, maybe they won three or four. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, what just $10,000 could do to help those, one of us out here that's doing talk radio that doesn't do a dime? We don't get a penny from anybody? Personally, I've got three or four people that send me $20, $30, $5. Well, I've got one lady out there that's on food stamps, sends me $5 a month like clockwork. I got a gentleman out there that's an electronic engineer, and every once in a while, he'll send me a couple of hundred. If it wasn't for fellow Marines out there, I don't know where I would be. The phone would go dead. But I will tell you this much, I'm not going to go quietly in the night, and God bless Marianne Ponder for putting people together and doing what she did best, and that was searching people that told the truth and uniting them together. And I need to shut up.
Yeah, well, no, I'm kidding. All
I
right,
get on
Drew,
a rant,
well, we,
and I
we...
apologize to your audience, and I apologize to you. But it's one of those things, Don, that I'm fed up with people sending money overseas to a lady by the name of Burgermeister, and she has no standing for America at all. But they'll send several hundred dollars to the woman monthly.
Well, you know, people find all kinds of ways to throw money away or flush it down the toilet. So, you know, I guess that's their prerogative. They can do that. We're trying to awaken people to what's really going on. They'll find out, and we can always say, well, we told you so.
I got a question on the air for you.
Okay.
The next time you talk to General Jeremiah, ask him, does he have the Beam Me Up Scotty machine ready? Because I want to be beamed up.
Well, you know, I from what he said, that's not going to work until people start waking up and taking responsibility. You know, as he said, we're not quite ready to move on into greater possibilities until we demonstrate the capacity to do that.
Oh, I just like be beamed up, put on another planet, let me do my dastardly deed over there, like farm the land and put food on the table and not worry about somebody trying to steal it.
Yeah, well, you know, if we didn't have them, who do we have? We only have ourselves. And that's certainly where we stand in relationship to our government. Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. I know you're
welcome.
On with us again next week, so I look forward to your next appearance. I'm on your show next Monday, right?
Correct.
Okay, and that's heard on blogtalkradio.com and Wind Talkers Radio Network.
It's heard on the Internet through blogtalkradio.com, and for those of you out there that are receiving this signal either through the Internet with BBS Radio or through the rebroadcast through Wind Talkers Radio Network, you know the independently, privately owned radio station out there in the five territories of Australia or there on Highway 8 in South New Zealand or down in South America, one of the Marines or Army personnel that are rebroadcasting the signal. We'll be live every day, 2,200 hours Greenwich Mean Time. So check it out. There's your time zone. 2,200 hours GMT for 2 hours. And I'll have Dr. Ott on tomorrow.
Okay.
Or today.
Dr. A. True Ott. Great. And your website is amd.elequity.com. So I want to encourage folks to go there and get on your news and views list.
And you can, ladies and gentlemen, you can sign up for it, for the news and views. And at 1,500 hours GMT, it's mailed out automatically. The advantage that you have signing up from the website is you get the photographs that I post on the news and views. If you sign up to me, you only get the written version. Because I have a large contingency of military personnel in South America that are on dial-up, and if I put a picture on the news and views, it takes them forever to download the news and views in the email.
Yeah. Okay. Drew, got to say goodnight. Want to thank you for being on the show, and we're looking forward to your next appearance.
Well, I hope and pray you can get the man that created the long-legged Dak Magdaddy term on.
He'll be back. He said he's coming back. Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, and Wind Talkers Radio Network. We want to thank you for carrying the show, you folks out there. And special thanks to Donna Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when our special guest will be scientist and inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.